Dear members of families where mothers and fathers have taught us to know about and love the Lord. True love never runs smoothly. Have you noticed? Just like every other kind, love is a difficult thing to sustain. He was a Christian counselor who did very well in helping families reestablish. His name was Matt. And Matt had a following pretty quickly because he was so friendly. And he became known as a pretty successful marriage counselor. Many couples in trouble would go to him and there would be restoration. But there was a good reason for that. And it wasn't because he had 2 degrees. And it wasn't because he read a lot of books, which he did. It was because Matt had a deep relationship with his Lord. He was regularly in the Word of God. But as time went on and his schedule filled and the challenges increased, he had a baby coming and a great loss. And because of the fullness of his schedule, his passion for relationship with God began to diminish. Perhaps he was juggling too much. Perhaps he was thinking it was his behavior that made the difference. And as many will experience, things began to fall apart. In fact, so badly that now his marriage was beginning to fail. And in a particularly aggressive argument, he found himself out walking on the street in the neighborhood, and Matt ran into Mike. Mike had been one of his counselees a couple years back. When Mike looked up and recognized, "This is my counselor," he came towards him immediately with a hopefulness and a firmness, and he said, "Matt, I remember what you did for us, and I have to tell you, things aren't so good anymore. We're in trouble again. Can you help me?" And almost before he had made the request, Matt was backing away, saying, "I don't have anything left. I don't think I can help." And he didn't even share the reality that now he was the one that needed the help. You know, he needed this letter from John. He needed the love of God. And my service theme is, this is love. It's pretty simple. The power of John's words are not in John. They're in Jesus. It's so simple. But it is so deep and profound. When I was studying Greek a lot more than I do now, I still couldn't read from cover to cover a full book like Matthew or Mark without a dictionary, because you don't live in that Greek language, and it's an archaic or old language. But John writes very simply. I could read the entire book of John in the Greek and understand everything. So the words were simple, but the concepts were profound, way over the head of others even. Called the beloved disciple, John was the one that often would reach the heart of the matter. And John actually was said to have preached a sermon I don't think I would be brave enough to preach. When he was very old, they asked him to preach. He stood up, took him longer to get to the place where he was speaking from than to say the 4 words he said, "Dear children of God, love one another." And he sat down. Now, in the writing of this particular chapter, he's going to take us on a little bit of a tour to frame what was occurring in the congregations to which he was addressing these concerns. And there were problems, the spreading of heretical or false teachings. There were ex-Jews and ex-pagans that were causing trouble. The ex-Jews did not acknowledge the humanity of Jesus. They diminished who he really was. And the ex-pagans made more of that than they should have. So the pendulum was swinging on either end of the spectrum for his congregation. They were under attack. And so he wrote, as we begin there, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." So we're going to learn today what is found then on page 10, my sermon outline. We're going to learn how to live from an overflow of his love. It's the simplest thing that humans want. More than breathing oxygen, more than sun and rain, human beings need love, and they want to be able to give love. Let's take a look then. As we begin, love comes with Jesus. We can love others because we tap into the incredible storehouse of God's love. How? As we look at this text, it's going to become very similar to the counselor's life. "Dear friends, let us love one another, because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love has not known God, because God is love." Love is the glue that holds the house together, the family, making it a home. Often that's the mom as she gathers. As I just discussed this with one mom, she wanted nothing after all of these months of being separated from her family but to get the family together. That's what I've experienced. My mom would cry when I came. She would cry when I left. Thanksgiving was mom's time as the family would gather together. Love is the glue because God designed it that way. Our ability to love God is connected to the unlimited source of the story about Jesus. And that is found in Scripture. Plain and simple, if you are going to have a deeper love for one another, you have to first walk with Jesus, because love comes with Jesus. It just follows him wherever he goes. When we let other things take precedence, a spiritual climate begins to change. In fact, it would be very much like a desert or a drought. It begins to show not only in our moral character, but it shows specifically in our relationships. We become internal, more about us. Why isn't everybody else loving me? Because we're not filling up from the love of God. You see, that is called bankruptcy spiritually. And it means you haven't had the time. You haven't been worshiping regularly in the Word. Corporately, in other words, together or individually. And this is what John is saying, is don't forsake the Word of God and the Father. Let me put it in a little different framework. Jim was a master investor, and he had spent his whole life trying to figure out exactly how to get ahead of all of stocks and bonds and pick the perfect mixture. And he got pretty good at it. He was able to double his money, then quadruple it, and by the time he had been at it for 20 years, he was up 20 times. So in other words, he had doubled his wealth every year until he missed it. And in his investments, he made a mistake that led to a large loss, which made him more risk-taking, and he lost more. And within a year and a half, he had lost all most all of it. Wouldn't you know it that that's when the biggest opportunity came his way? And he didn't have anything to put into it. Before he had had 10 times the amount that was needed for this perfect investment, now he couldn't even put up half. And he missed the opportunity completely. This is how it happens when we miss the equity we build with God regularly involved in time of devotion and prayer. The smartest, most natural investment in the world is to be connected to the Word of God, to Jesus, to the Father, to the Spirit. And I want to ask you today, what is the balance of your spiritual bank? Have you spent time, or are you on the run like the counselor, pouring out until you're near an empty tank? To know God and His love means that we have to spend time with Him. Edward Bounds, a commentator, wrote, "Those who know God the best are the richest and most powerful in prayer. So to increase your capacity of love, you have to increase the time you spend with God." And I believe that means a non-negotiable part of the day always is with your Lord. You know, love is. There are several expressions here that are pretty profound. The world has its own way of stating it. One guy said, love is only for the young, the middle-aged, and the old. In other words, it's for everybody. Love is felt and the message is heard. That's what I want to talk about when he says love one another, because loving one another goes with Jesus. A truly affected person who knows Jesus is just going to be like Jesus. It happened. From the time he knelt down in the upper room and showed them what love was, the command began to stick. It wasn't just a great commission, go and make disciples, but it was a new command. Love one another as I have loved you. And this love is active. It actually is not just an emotion, but an action, a habit. Dear friends, if God loved us so much, we should also love one another. Verse 11. So he has framed all of this with the concept of having received from God, you have enough to overflow. You remember Psalm 23? My cup runneth over. That's what it means to overflow with love. It means that your cup is so full from being around God and knowing what God has done for you in Christ that you have enough to give. In fact, you will never run out. So this is the verse that gives motivation. The motivation is God is love. The motivation is God sent his Son. And when we understand that, then the one another's come pretty naturally. I went after this and looked them up again. I have a pamphlet that shows all of the 53 passages in the NIV that are one another's. You can do this. Just put it in a search engine, Bible Gateway, YouVersion, look up one another's, put quotes around it so that they hold together. And in the EHV, a newer translation that we have, there's 92 of them. One another's are the ways that people interact with each other. To forgive one another, to encourage one another, to love one another. This is what God is doing wherever Jesus goes. Jesus modeled that love on every single level of human experience. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Talk about a tall order. When a husband's bit by her tongue, he needs to back away and say, "Father, help me to love her." When a wife feels abandoned because he's never around or he just doesn't talk, it is because she needs him. She needs him to love her unconditionally. And the model is in Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He humbled himself. It is Jesus who came down and was on his knees to serve. He humbled himself all the way to the cross, to the place of danger and death. He went into our place so that he might release the payment for us. And that's love. That's the way a husband should give, not thinking of his own wounds and licking himself, saying, hey, I didn't get what I needed, and it's her fault. But rather, in Jesus, I have enough to keep giving. And it's there that the unconditional love changes the whole dynamic of relationships. There's a story that I want to highlight from the New Testament of four people who showed this kind of love. They spent time, energy, and effort to bring their friend to Jesus. And you'll remember it as soon as I say they lowered him through the roof. But think about the hours before this. All right, so they're there lowering him down so that Jesus can see him. But they had tried, and they had to put a lot aside. They could have said, hey, no, I got to go fishing today. Or no, I got repairs on the house. But they picked up their friend. He was crying out, I want to see Jesus. And he was hopeful, maybe Jesus can help me. But when they got there, the crowd was so overwhelming that they couldn't get him to Jesus, and they didn't stop. Can you imagine trying to put him up on the roof? My shoulder wouldn't go for it, believe me. Up they go, and they dig through the roof, which is kind of a brave thing, and I wonder whose house it was and how they figured they were going to get it repaired. But you're seeing love in action. And when the man came down, he got more than he ever dreamed, because Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And that meant more to him than the next words, which were, take up your mat and walk. And there's the miracle plus. He got in Jesus everything and more because of the love of his friends. I'm going to ask you today for this assignment. Think of all the people God has positioned in your life. Try to go out of your way and just touch one life with significant effort. And in a moment, I want to share a story about how that looks. So put your people down on a list, put a priority next to them, and you don't have to try to get the whole list done. Just one person that you are willing to reach out and give to the way that Jesus has given to us. His name was Richard Wurmbrandt, and he was a high-ranking soldier in the Romanian army, ended up being a prison coordinator, and they punished and tortured Christians. It was during that time that he met a 17-year-old girl, and no matter how they tortured her, she would pray for them. She would smile. She would say, I know someday you're going to stop doing this because God is bigger than you are, and God can stop you and give you a better life. And it made the prison guards angry, so they hurt her worse. And here's the boss watching this and commanding it, and no matter what they tried, they couldn't get rid of, they couldn't extinguish the love. And one night, Richard Wurmbrandt went back and he talked to God, and he said, if you're real, if you're really in that girl who seems to really love me, then you will change me completely. And he himself eventually would spend 14 years in a Romanian prison for his Christian faith before he would become an immigrant to Canada. And the story continues to go on from there. That is an amazing sacrifice. And my third point is just that. That true love is sacrificial. And that's why I think moms do get noticed, is because they're often very sacrificial. They put some effort into their love, not just their baking, but into a lot of things that they do. It's a sacrifice for someone else's benefit. And here's the paradox, that love imprints with more love. Moms get love back. Honestly, I agree with one of my sons who said, my kids were so worried that I didn't feel love on Mother's Day, they had to keep coming back and giving me hugs. But it isn't just about mom, is it? It's the love within the family. And here's what he says. This is how God's love for us was revealed. God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we may live through him. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Take an inventory of what God has done for you in Jesus, and that's your motive. This is love, not that we love God, but that he gave it all for us. You know, everything I do is filtered through that. It was my mom's love that probably made me aware of how blessed I was. Now, my mom's home in heaven. Many of you have the same. You can't give her a hug today, but you can ask Jesus to do that for you. And if your mom is around, I'm going to say that you have an opportunity to not miss a gift that is given. Love causes that overflow of thankfulness, and that thankfulness is what you need to take back to your mom. And just apart from everything else, just say, Mom, not only are you the best mother in the world, but I thank God for you. You know, because often moms are the ones that teach, Jesus loves me, this I know. You remember the song? Oh, we all know it. Can you go on with me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's not my bank account that tells me I'm so loved by God. It's not the accolades that I have accomplished. It's not the talents that have been put to use. It's not about me. It's the Bible that tells me I have been loved. And on this day of genuine love and respect, Mother's Day, let's agree not to brush it off or make light of it, not of love. Because as Peter will say in chapter 4, love covers over a multitude of mistakes. I've had that kind of love. I think most of you have experienced it. And I know you have if you know Jesus. Because he has covered over everything that's wrong and made it right. So if we are full of that kind of love, it boils over. It overflows our lives. And we naturally want to love others, to love one another as he has loved us. God give you a beautiful day of love, of respect for the Lord, of thankfulness, and of giving that love sacrificially to someone else. Amen.